You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and the freestyle era continues. However, the freestyle era may not continue for much longer. Why? Because I just uploaded a ton of archival episodes and our brand new album battle episode that M. Moore hid at the very bottom of a news story. So right now, we only have... Yes, you did. You put four podcasts in one news story with the album battle at the very bottom.
Well, because it was right, the newest one. It was the order.
And so now I only have three old episodes left to do. Episode 600 or 650, whatever it is. 650, I think, right? 650, the end of the year episode, and one of the random episode. And then we will be finally totally caught up after about 4 to 5 months in purgatory. So we're getting there, man. We're getting there.
Yes, also, great job.
Tonight I'm going to upload M's, what I forgot, I missed her January M Moore
Time to listen to,
and her February What Are You Going to Listen to, M Moore Time to Listen. So we're going to upload that tonight along with tonight's new brand new episode. So we're cruising along. Actually, a lot of things happening at Punk News. Is M, should we continue the freestyle era, or should we go back to mixing in songs? Mixing in songs is a lot of extra work, frankly. However, you know, I mixed the album episode, and I mixed a couple of other things, and I made a mix for the Record Freakout, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
The mixed episodes definitely are better, but it's a lot of the extra work. So what do you think we should do, Em? What should we do?
I like the freestyle ones just because, like, they flow really well, and it's just fun to talk about just a wide variety of things and not have to worry about mixing. But I also like listening to the songs, so I think having a mix of them where it's like some of them are going to just be freestyle and no songs, and other ones are going to be more songs, like depending on, like, say you have more time 1 week, then we'll do one with songs. If you have less time, then we'll do no songs.
Well, you're right in that we could do some freestyle and some mix. The question is, Em, you were mixing them for a little while. Could we alternate mixing duties?
Of course, yeah. I'm totally up for that.
So maybe we'll do some freestyle and then alternate mixing, and then that way, and you know, get the mixed ones like up the next day or the day after, like we used to, and just do some freestyle. So maybe we'll do that.
I am up for mixing.
The cool thing. Okay. Well, rad. Well, the cool thing about the mixed ones is, you know, there's it kicks off with a song which gives us energy, and we might be talking about I mixed in a psychic dance routine, the dance remix by Scal, and I gotta say, man, and we're gonna talk about Scal later on this episode, but man, that remix is just so killer. Honestly, I was kind of getting over Scal because everyone loves Scal, and I am totally back to being extremely pro Scal again. I mean, that track is just so kick ass. So anyways, maybe we'll get back to mixing soon-ish. I do have to mix, though, the end of year episode, which is going to be a pain, and I got to mix episode 650 or whatever, which is going to be a real pain, but I got to do it. A lot of things are happening in Punk News, Em. First of all, on Saturday, today is Thursday, you might hear this on Friday, but on Saturday is the Philly Record Freakout, the record convention that Punk News hosts, and by Punk News, I mean me, but also Sammy B will be there, a Punk News editor, and we're going to have more than 20,000 records for sale. It's in Philadelphia at a place called Philomoka, which is near Union Transfer, if you know where that is. It's starts at 10 and goes till 4 p.m., and it is super rad and super fun and super cool. And so that's this Saturday, March 2, 2024. Also, I have an official, I've unofficially announced it, but I haven't officially announced it yet, is Summer Soiree 7 is now locked and loaded. It is going to be awesome. Woo. It is going to be July 27th, and to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Ramones, Joe Jack Talcum, the band, which is Dan Joe Barr, Joe Jack Talcum and Dan Drew of the Dead Milkmen with Marshall Fisher are going to be doing all Ramones to headline. Also, Mikey Erg the band is going to be doing all of Leave Home, the classic second Ramones album. Also, Froggy is going to be doing all songs covered by the Ramones, and the Ramoms, who are four moms that sing Ramones songs with a mom bend, will be also playing the show. And there might even be one other band playing. So we will see. And so that's going to be July 27 at Philly. Only $14, and it's going to be super rad. So yeah, man. Yeah.
Woo. $14 is very fair.
It's extremely fair and extreme. I mean, it's actually like ridiculously cheap. I'm doing the sponsor thing again, which helps out a lot.
Ooh.
Actually, I'm gonna give a shout out to the sponsors that we have already. Why not? So
Yeah.
some, and this is not a complete list because some people are still getting back to me. But as of right now, here are all the very cool places that are sponsoring Summer Soirée 7, and you should go and buy stuff from them. Princeton Record Exchange, one of the best record stores in the world. Rainbow Records, one of the best record stores in the world, down in Delaware. Rock and Roll Night Fight in Lansdowne, PA, another fantastic record store. Sky Valley Records over in New Jersey, another fantastic record store. Angry Young and Poor, an amazing record store in Lancaster. And Revilla Groove Records, the also super amazing record store just north of Princeton. So we've got some real cool sponsors this year, which honestly, huge thanks to them. They really do take the Summer Soirée race from being fun but nerve-wracking and a little bit of a pain to being almost pure fun, and it relieves a ton of pressure. So it's super cool. So it's gonna be fun and rad, and that's that. So yeah, that's what's happening. I don't know, anything else we need to cover before we get into the swing of things?
Ooh, shameless plug. I did a really cool interview with Dave Mitchell of Gulfer. They just released their fourth album, called Third Wind, and it's really good. So we talked about that and emo and Montreal and all sorts of cool stuff. So go give that a read and listen to Third Wind. It's really good.
Here's the thing, Em, and I really shouldn't have acknowledged this, and I haven't
What's
acknowledged this in
up?
a while. Is so I wrote a beautiful 9 out of 10 review of Common Riot's Last Wave
Oh,
Rockers, and
yes.
I got nothing but hate about, like I got nothing but hate for saying how much I love Common Rider. Like
Why?
I'm astounded. Like I thought Common Rider, along with Operation Ivy, Classic Love, was one of these bands that everyone loves and everyone says is great, and the only thing I got was hatred. But like what is going on here? Like I was like the commenters have been nicer lately. I mean, they're never nice, but
No.
nicer. And then it was like a wave of pure hatred over Common Rider. It wasn't even, I'm like, yeah, the Melvins are awesome, or yeah, the Dwarves. I'm talking about Common Rider, and I'm getting tons of hate. Common Rider, and the record is amazing. The reissue is super,
Ugh.
super well done, and I was getting nothing but hate. Why, Em? Why?
I
I shouldn't even care because I mean,
don't
it's a bunch of losers, frankly. You know what I mean? Like for example, I said the cover is a color swap, which it is. It's from the
Yeah.
original, it swaps the blue and the yellow. And someone said, no, it's not just a color swap, it's an entire repaint of the original cover. Yes, a repaint where Jesse Michaels swaps the covers of the original, the colors of the original. It's like it was weird. I
That
don't know,
is
man.
really strange.
It was really like, I don't know, man. I mean, for a while, we were
Yeah,
really
that's
thinking about
weird.
deleting the comments because they were just so nasty. And then it kind of got n nicer again. I wonder if it's coming back around again, you know?
I don't
So,
know. I think you're giving them too much credit.
well, we shall see. Let's see.
I
I'm
still
trying to
think
think
we
of.
should do the like welcome to the Thunderdome and just chuck everyone in.
You know, I saw Mad Max 2 for the first time last week. It was awesome. Mad Max 2 was awesome.
That's the one with Tina Turner.
No, that's Thunderdome is third. Beyond the Thunderdome is the third one.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen the second one.
It's awesome. You gotta check it out. Like it is
I
a
will.
really, 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 really good movie. Like I was actually surprised at how good it was. It's got a
Ooh,
little bit of
okay.
comic relief, which I'm never a fan of, but really just a little bit. But the movie is freaking awesome. Anyway, let's talk about some punk news.
Yeah.
The first story that we're gonna cover is. See, I'm sorting through.
Whoops.
No huge news stories this week, but let's talk about this one. Sarah, actually, let's talk about. I actually do want to talk about this. We talked about No
Yes.
Values last week. No Values General Admission has already sold out, and we're not going to talk a whole lot about it. But of course, No Values is this massive one-day show with Misfits, Social Distortion, who are bizarrely higher than Iggy Pop, Turnstile, Bad Religion, Sublime, There's No Escape Plan, Damned. The one Blurred Out band, is that band still Blurred Out? I'll have to look.
Think they are.
Fear, Cro-Mags, Dead Milkmen, who are bizarrely way down at the bottom of the list. Scowl, Addicts, L7, Jello's DJing. Every band is playing. The General Admission is sold out. I wasn't sure if the Punk Rock Bowling versus New Values, no, No Values tour or show was truly in competition with each other, or if it's like, even though people were kind of like making a weird sports team battle, neither of them really cared. A, no values, general admission sold out extremely quickly, which surprised me, which I mean, I can't imagine that no values is smaller than punk rock bowling. So that's one thing. But also, I did see that punk rock bowling upped their advertising and is kind of taking moves, I think, to get people to pay attention to them more. Also, in the punk rock bowling Facebook group, I see a lot of people selling tickets, which is kind of weird. Oh. You don't have to. So I guess they really are in battle with each other, which is interesting. And also, like I said, people really are, weirdly are, picking sides, you know.
That's really weird. Why would you pick sides? They're not even in the same, like, month.
Because people are in love with, like, sports. You know what I mean? Like, people will literally fist fight with each other over which is the better sports team. And it's like, right, you're fist fighting with each other because some millionaire down on the field who wouldn't even slow down if you were crossing the street didn't score a goal or something. You know what I mean? People just are that way. Like people love to. Well, actually, here's the exact answer.
Okay.
And I should know this more than anybody. It should be the first thing I said. People, especially post 1970s, people use brands as a way of identifying and creating themselves. And so,
oh, yeah. Okay.
By fixating themselves to a certain brand, Tommy Hilfiger or Gap or Gucci. Or Yves Saint Laurent, then they're saying, this says something about me. I get to glom on to this, whatever this brand is exuding, and I get to say that that's part of me as well. And so just people do the same thing with punk festivals, with sports teams, with drink brands, with alcohol brands. So it's really just that. It's people, by glomming onto a certain brand, they feel it speaks to something about themselves, when in reality, you're literally just purchasing a product that is or is not useful. And that being said, like I said, punk rock bowling and no values both are products. They're cool products. Really, I think they're both pretty cool products, frankly. But they are products, you know? So, like, it's weird that people do a fixate to them, especially since Social Distortion is the second biggest band on no values, which is bizarre. You're the most boring band in punk somehow, you know? Anyways, that's why. So it looks like there is something of a battle between punk rock bowling and no values. Do I think it's going to make a huge difference on punk rock bowling? I think it actually might make some impact. It's not going to make or break the festival. But this year's punk rock bowling is hit or miss, which really is good because that means you get to see all the cool bands you want, and the ones you miss are ones you don't really care about. But when people look at that compared to no values, where almost every band is a hit, you know, Misfits, Iggy, Sublime, Damned, Suicidal Tendencies, TSOL, Steve Ignorant, you know, a lot of hits. Then people are like, well, see, it's better because I like every band here. They're forgetting that you don't see every band at a festival like that. And frankly, my concern for No Values, and I still might go, is like, apparently there's four stages, and how long does each band play for? And you really do run the risk of missing a lot. Now, if I have to pick between Misfits or Social D, that's easy, Misfits. Iggy, Turnstile, Bad Religion, Sublime. I like Sublime, but it's not really Sublime. Iggy, every day of the week. Dillinger Escape Plan, Power Trip, Damn, Joyce Manor. Easy, Damned. Suicidal Tendencies, Vandals, Black Flag, TSOL, Viagra Boys, Ceremony, Jesus Lizard, Fiddler. It's not really, if it was real Black Flag, certainly Black Flag, but it's fake Black Flag, so no problem, Ceremony. But, you know, it's a lot of running around, and maybe don't get to see everything. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, except to say there does seem to be some conflict between the two companies, and certainly upon attendees who are fighting with each other in the comment section of Punk Rock Bowling about which is better and who you should stay loyal to, which is bizarre to me.
That's so stupid. You can go to both. You can enjoy both. Like, you don't have to pick sides. No one's, like, at war here.
Especially if you live in Cali, because the flight to Vegas is super cheap. Staying in Vegas is almost free. And you can just go to the
El Cortez.
Go to El Cortez, best hotel in Vegas. Although they better give me, you know, like I said, I've been there like five times now, and I want special treatment, and they're not giving me special treatment. And I want them to be like, Mr. Gentile, I see you're back. Welcome to El Cortez. We will prepare your room. Manuel, Very much in your Taylor's room, you know. But on the other hand, I'm sure they're aware of how much I spend, like on gambling, because they give you a gambling card, and I'm sure they see it's $10.
Oh.
And so they're probably like, we don't even want this guy here, you know. So
this was for casino customers only.
I know, I know. I don't even get like the free dinner they give you. I really want to get the free dinner, but it's like, well, do I want to sit down for like an hour in the middle of punk rock bowling when it's like the most exciting time of the year almost? And like whenever, you know, I don't want to like sit in the, you know, so I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to punk rock bowling. It's going to be rad. And I might go to No Values, which looks pretty rad as well. The only thing about No Values, though, is actually No Values is actually more expensive than punk rock bowling, because punk rock bowling is about $250 for 3 days, and there's club shows, and hotels are super cheap. But No Values is you got to get a hotel in California, and that's like $200 a night, you know, whereas Vegas is like 50, you know, so.
No Values is only one day, too.
And I got to fly out there, you know.
It says venue doors open at 11 a.m. and curfew is 11 p.m.
At No Values?
But yeah. Yeah, I just went on there frequently asked questions. So it's like 11 to 11. And somebody... Sorry?
Go ahead. I'm going to see how many bands it is, but go ahead.
And another frequently asked question is, wow, there are lots of artists performing. Will I see all of them? And the answer was, there is no guarantee. Many artists will be performing at the same time, and some areas will have limited capacities. You should plan accordingly and arrive early if there's a particular performer you really want to see. Also, the lineup is always subject to change. And then it says, whether it's due to volcanoes or any other reason. Haha, they made a joke.
It must be fun to, I mean, I realize that this is one of these behind the scenes, very calculated festivals, but it must be fun, like punk rock bowling or even the best, to like organize a festival that's banging. You know what I mean? Like, it must be a lot of fun to have that many rad bands, you know? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. 43 bands, divided by four states. That about makes sense. You know, about 12 bands over the course of 12 hours. Now, of course, most bands are probably like Dead Milkmen, as legendary as they are, they're probably playing for like a half hour, you know, which is bizarre, you know? I can't imagine flying all the way out to California with a full band and playing for 30 minutes. But then again, I certainly can imagine if they're cutting me a fat, fat check. You know what I mean? If they were putting me, like... Mm-hmm. If they want you to play for 15 minutes, I mean, if you can put on a cool show and they only give you 15 minutes, like the Melvins are famous for saying, we only really want to play for 25 minutes, which would be a real disappointment. But if you feel you can put on a cool show for in like 15 minutes and someone wants to give you a fat, fat check, why not do it, you know?
You got to go for it at that point.
And I have to believe the Dead Milkmen are getting a fat check, because even though they're so far down, you know, the Dead Milkmen, they each have jobs, and they don't do a whole lot of shows per year. And the shows they do are they're very selective about, you know. And so for them to fly all the way out to California from Philly for a 30-minute slot, that's got to be more than a $1,500, you know, bagger. You know what I mean? That's got to be a fat check.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, travel expenses to cover like everything.
You know, but I was doing it. Why hasn't punk rock bowling had Dead Milkmen on? Hey, you know, I just realized, Em.
What?
I wonder if No Values or punk rock bowling have competing, like non-compete clauses where one band can't play with the other. Scowl is playing both, but maybe that's because they're so hot right now that, like, I guess there must not be. Because if Scout's playing both, then neither of them can have a non-compete clause. But then, so why don't we see more overlap here? You know, that's the other question.
Yeah, like unless it depends on touring schedule, because No Values takes place a bit later in the year.
Yeah, but so that's why I think there would be much more overlap, frankly, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question. Because then it would be like, you've seen them here. Well, come see them here as well, you know?
I guess the main difference that No Values, and I don't, we're beating a dead horse here, but is No Values has Iggy and Misfits, which are two massive, massive groups, you know?
Yeah.
Well, actually, the fact of that is Misfits are way bigger than Iggy sales-wise, frankly. So that's why Novi is able to sell it so quickly, because they've got Misfits, which is a multi-million dollar guarantee. Whereas Punk Rock Bowling, I don't think they've got any multi-million dollar guarantees as headliners, you know.
I wouldn't think so.
Well, anyways, that's that. We've already talked about Scout a little bit. I want to talk about Scout a little bit more. A, I'm back to being a huge fan. I mean, I was never not a fan, but now I'm a huge fan again.
Yes.
Scal has two tours right now, and I'm interested by this, and I'll tell you why in a second. Scal right now is in Europe with Madball headlining. It's Scal, the Chisel, Tsunami, and Mind War. That's happening right now. Then this summer is a very big, I guess, I want to say neo-hardcore, but I don't, I'll call it college kid hardcore. And that Drain is doing a relatively big tour. Scal's opening, Angel Dust is opening, End It is opening, and there's a few special guests. Madball, Regulate, King Nine, Twitching Tons, Mind Force, God's Hate, H2O, and a few other bands as well. Here's why I'm kind of surprised then,
Okay.
is, well, first of all, everyone loves Drain, and by Drain I mean the college kids love Drain. I'm not that blown away by Drain. I guess I'll give them credit, and it is somewhat unique compared to a lot of the other run-of-the-mill hardcore bands, but it's not like hard enough for me, and it's not cr weird or crazy enough for me. I know everyone loves Drain, but then again, the stuff that rises to the top is usually kind of the watered down version of the awesome thing. For example, the Foo Fighters, who are still one of the biggest rock bands in the world, are the most boring band in the world, but somehow they're huge. So anyways, why I'm a little bit surprised is, so Scal put out How Flowers Grow, which is a hardcore record, which everyone loved. Then they put out Psychic Dance Routine, which finds them moving away from hardcore and into kind of alt rock, grunge, indie rock, and even dance. And I talked about that amazing remix of Psychic Dance Routine.
Yeah.
So I would have guessed that they're like, oh, well, Scal's kind of, moving towards pop territory or something like that, or maybe more radio friendly kind of stuff, which I mean, I'm not against it. That might be the right move, frankly. But then we see them opening for Madball, which, Madball is very much, we're hardcore, we love hardcore, that's what we do, hardcore. We are stereotypically hardcore, And then they're opening for Drain and Terror. I guess maybe opening for Drain would make more sense, but Terror, once again, Terror's whole thing is that they're generic hardcore. People love Terror. To me, Terror is like, if aliens came down and they're like, we want to know what is generic hardcore, I'd be like, here's Terror, It's hardcore without anything special about it. And so I'm very surprised that Scal is playing these very much hardcore bills. But actually, now that I look at this Drain tour, it is Drain, Angel Dust, and Scal, which are all very much kind of college hardcore, if you will, as opposed to like Madball hardcore. So what I'm saying is, I would have guessed that Scal was moving into pop or radio territory, but we see them here on very much hardcore bills, particularly the Madball show. So what do you think is happening with Scal? And do you think they are going to stay as a hardcore band, or do you think they're going to move on to something else? Also,
Ooh,
what do you
okay.
think Terror feels like? Terror's been around like 25 years now. And actually, my well, I'm going to say that. Terror's
What?
been around for about 25 years. How do you think they feel opening for Drain, which is still a relatively new Jack band? Do you think they're psyched because they're now a veteran hardcore band playing for all the kids? Or do you think they're mad that they're not headlining over this band that's like 2 years old? Other really Drain's like 4 or 5 years old.
I think that Terror are okay with it. I think they're like, well, Drain probably like was influenced by us at some point, and so a lot of the bands on the bill were influenced by us at some point, and we wanna continue to be involved in the hardcore scene and continue to be involved with all like the young bands and doing our thing and stuff. So I think they're pretty good with it. And then with Scowl, I think that at the end of the day, they're a hardcore band, kind of no matter what they experiment with. And they have something for like the people who are gonna go to the Madball show, right? Like they have How Flowers Grow, they have the first EP. And then like for Drain, they also have like How Flowers Grow, which will go there, and they have Psychic Dance Routine, which will absolutely rip in that lineup too. So I think they're just doing like the best of both worlds, where it's we love hardcore at our heart. We are a hardcore band. We will experiment with some other things. And some of the people like in the scene are also kind of experimenting with those types of things, to varying degrees of success, obviously. Like, I think Scowl are one of the best ones doing that right now and the most inventive. So yeah, I think we'll see them on a variety of bills. I also think they're just kind of seizing any and all opportunities too. Like, they went on the Limp Bizkit tour, was it last year? I think.
Well, that was before they popped. Like, that was the very beginning of them getting some real buzz, and it was almost ironic. It was almost like ironic. Like, the Limp Bizkit thing was so weird because for about 6 or 8 months, like, everyone was pretending that Limp Bizkit was good, and I'm like, and people were coming up to be like, "Are you going to Limp Bizkit?" And I'm like, "No, no, I'm not going to Limp Bizkit. No, you know." And then it was like, "Oh, Limp Bizkit is actually real good." And then they were supposed to headline that Atlantic City festival that got canceled because they sold like 9 tickets because it turns out no one actually likes Limp Bizkit, you know?
Bamboozle Fest. Yeah, it's all I know is break stuff. I don't think I could listen to a full album, but you never know. So yeah, I think, you know, Scowl's being smart. They're being who they are, and they're taking all of the opportunities that they possibly can, and they're sticking to like their hardcore roots. Because again, I think that's who they are.
See, I'm not their agent, obviously. If kids didn't know him, I am not Scowl's agent.
What?
My concern would be them getting caught in hardcore. Like, Terror is never going to be more than they are right now. And I'm not dissing that Terror. A lot of people like them. They're not bad. Just they're not special to me. You know, Terror is always going to be hardcore. And they're probably like, yeah, we're hardcore. You know, that's all we are, you know. And you can get caught in that world. The problem in getting caught in that world is it can limit your income. And when you're not getting that much money and you're doing the same kind of shows with the same bands, and your audience is getting older and older, and younger people aren't coming, that's when things get unfun and become a real bummer. Whereas kind of if you move beyond that to the next level, then it's a lot easier to make a living. You know what I mean? Like if you move to the, you know, you don't have to tour all the time. You only have to do like 2 or 3 tours a year maybe. You make a lot of money, and you spend a lot of time not being the band. I mean, if longevity is their goal, and that's not necessarily the goal of all bands. But I mean, I would argue that Scowl has the like Terra is never going to be a massive band just because by the virtue of what they are, they're a hardcore band. If Scowl wants to be a massive band or a big band, I think they can do it. I mean, they Kat Moss has incredible charisma, and like the look of the band is very cool when they make cool music. So my fear for them would be getting caught in the hardcore world where you can never rise above. But I would think that they might try to sidestep that, kind of like Ceremony tried to do, and become their own thing and get bigger. You know, if you look at like a great example is Boy Genius. Not that they're hardcore or even punk at all, but Boy Genius is Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers,
and Lucy Dacus.
Right, and separately they were each like theater acts, 2,000 people, and they got together, and instead of getting tagged, honestly, like instead of getting caught in like Tegan and Sarah world, you know, popular but not ultra popular, they did something different, and they became arena acts. Astounding. Like, I'm amazed that not that I think like it's not my thing, but I'm amazed that an act of what they are is now an arena act. Like, you would think, like when you think of arena act, you think of Foo Fighters or like K-pop or something, you know, and Boy Genius is an arena act, which is kind of cool, frankly. It's a rock band that's an arena act again, and it's not like just stupid let's party rock or, you know, Dave Grohl and other guys from 40 years ago. And so I'm astounded that Boy Genius popped as big as they did. I would think that Scowl has the potential. My fear would be them getting caught in hardcore world, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
So we'll see, though. I mean, I love. I'm back to being a huge Scowl fan. I was kind of soured just because I was being a negative Nancy, you know.
Oh, and the Scowl.
Everyone was like, Scowl, 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 Scowl. I'm not going to go to the show now. And then I'm a total jackass. They put out that remix and it's freaking awesome. So Scowl's awesome. I'm going to see them at Punk Rock Bowling. And ooh. I might even see them before that. So yeah, man. Ooh, I exciting. Wonder if they're going to be the special. Actually, let's go back to Punk Rock. I realize we're dragging this out. Let's go back to Punk Rock Bowling.
Okay.
Just because I'm psyched on it, man. They're not even paying me. And I'm still a little annoyed at Punk Rock Bowling from years ago. But I love going to it, man. It's a lot of fun, dude. And like I said, the lineup is pretty cool this year. Am I being too much of a dog on Punk Rock? Like, am I hyping Punk Rock Bowling too much? Am I being too much of an unpaid salesman?
I think you're saying what you really think, right? Like, you're not just being like, you're not I'm just psyched. Blowing smoke up their ass. So yeah, I think that's genuine, you know, don't water it down.
I'm psyched for Madness. I'm psyched for Catbite. I'm psyched for Scowl. I'm psyched for the Dwarves. Devo. Anyways, so M, here we go.
Yes.
The most of the club acts have been announced. I don't know if there's I actually gave more club acts than ever before. Oh, did we do this last time when I said the club acts I was going to go to?
I don't think we did.
Okay, so here's the club acts. So you know, Punk Rock Bowling has 4 days of club acts: Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Friday is Throw Rag and the Humpers. I can pass on that. Tijuana Panthers, Swami from what's his name from Rock from the Crypt or Tomb? Rock from the Crypt. Crypt? Yeah, Rock from the Crypt.
Yeah, Rock from the
and
Crypt.
I can pass on that. Johnny Ruiz. I don't even know who that is. I can pass on that. Generation Suicida with Homefront, which I want to go to, but also ooh. Red Cross and Side Eyes. So I as much as I want to see Homefront, I think I got to go see Side Eyes and Red Cross, man. That's going to be freaking awesome. So that's what I'm doing Friday. Oh, also Friday, the bank on 8 Calacas, which I don't know about that. Oh, also there's All and Bad Cop. I would go see that, but I mean, as much as it'd be cool to see All, I'd much rather see Red Cross.
Fair enough.
And there's also Agnostic Front, Underdog, and someone else on Friday, but I can skip that.
But wait, you're forgetting. Yeah.
Max Sabbath is also on Friday, which I've seen them before. I can pass that. Saturday, now there's RKO with Dr. No. There's Dwarves and Queers and FYP. Guitar Wolf with Lords of Altamont. Starcrawler with Nice and Slaughterhouse. Special Guest, Mess with Pistol Grip. Suicide Machines with Catbite opening. And where do you think I'm going to go?
Suicide Machines with Catbite opening.
Partially correct. I'm going partially. To go see... Yeah, I'm going to go see Catbite open for Suicide Machines, then run all the way down the strip to see the Dwarves at Sonic Rodeo on the 7th. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to have to really sprint, though, to make that happen, I think. That is kind
you
of
can
like...
do it.
Let's see. I think so. Who do you think the special guest is going to be, though? Let's see. So the openers for the special guest are Cosmic Psychos, Fiends, and Gus Baldwin. So I was going to say Scowl, but that doesn't really look like a Scowl kind of lineup, you know?
Who has a Pabst sponsorship thing right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. It's probably not going to be that's Saturday night, so it can't be the Descendants. So it's got to be a Friday night band or a Sunday band. Let's see. So it could be – I mean, it could be – it's probably going to be Rocket from the Crypt. I bet that's who it's going to be.
That would fit with the graphic.
Yeah, probably Rocket from the Crypt. That's probably who it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I also kind of want to see – oh, Starcrawler is playing Punk Rock Bowling, the main stage. Oh, cool. So I don't have to go – oh, no. And we're idiots, Em. We are idiots. You know why we're idiots?
No.
It's going to be the Chats. With Cosmic Psychos, it's going to be the Chats. No question.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. And the beer. Yeah.
It's going to be the Chats. So
I
can miss
didn't
that.
Make, I'm not, nice. Didn't make the I'm connection gonna see there.
Catbite and Dwarves. That's going to be freaking awesome. Sunday, and we'll wrap this up real quick. Gallo Negro, Bratmobile, Plague Vendor, Co-Defendants, Billy Bragg. Bratmobile's cool. I'll go see Bratmobile with Faya. That's cool. And then Monday,
yeah.
I'll probably go see Subhumans. And there we go.
Yeah. Sort of
there. Let's get back to the show proper here, Em. Tell me
the
about
Subhumans
Anti-Queens.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Tell me about Anti-Queens, Em.
Yeah, okay. Anti-Queens are an awesome band. They're out of Toronto. And they have announced they're going to be releasing a new album. This is their third album. It's called Disenchanted, and it'll be out this spring on Stomp Records. So it doesn't have a concrete release date just yet. They haven't released a video, or sorry, they haven't released a single or a video or the track list or anything. So that'll be coming in like the next couple little bit. I assume, I hope. I love this band. They're great. I reviewed both of their previous albums back when I was like more doing more reviews. And I saw them for the first time last year at Pooza because they stepped in for One Step Closer. I think it was One Step. Yeah, One Step Closer because I believe the drummer was injured, so they couldn't make it. And the Ange Queen stepped in, and that was like, I was so stoked because I've wanted to see this band forever. And just like, again, I live in a very rural area, and getting into Toronto to see shows sometimes doesn't work out logistically, or you know, you have a lot of shit to figure out. So again, I haven't been able to see them, and they absolutely just blew me away with that set. They had Michael Krusty filling in on bass. And I think he might play on some of the album, but again, that's just speculation. I have no idea. I won't know until everything's announced. But yeah, and they're playing Pooza again this year, which I'm super stoked about because they're just they're an incredible recorded band, and they're an incredible live band, and I can't wait to hear the album, see them again, and like all sorts of stuff. So that's really, really exciting. I also don't know what their lineup is going to be, because they've gone through a couple changes in the past few years, and there's right now the two core members. So that'll be really interesting to see who plays on the album and who plays with them live. But yeah, I'm stoked. John, do you have any Anti-Queen thoughts?
That is very much an M. Moore band that I gotta check out. I know you like this band a
Hell
lot, so I
yeah.
gotta check them out. I don't really know
They're
anything about
really
them. I'll
good.
check them out. All right, well, I will check them out. Speaking of
Yeah.
really good, the Knee-Highs have released a video
Yeah.
for Crush. It's off their second EP called Crush. They put out an EP actually like a year or two ago, and I didn't even really know anything about the Knee-Highs. They were playing Philly like 6 months ago, and I was feeling what's the word? Nostalgic. And I'm like, this band reminds me of the height of Burger Records in like 2014. I'm like, it's like retro kind of, sunny AM, pre-punk, glam rock. I'm like, oh, this is totally Burger Records. So I'm gonna go see them. And I went and I saw them. And they were awesome. And I bought their CDR that they made, and it was freaking awesome. It was very good, not amazing, but very good. And they've got this new video called Crush, and I dig it a lot. I mean, it's not very dangerous. It is kind of like a nostalgic retro kind of thing. I love the sound of it. I love the effect they put on the vocals and the guitar. I think the actual sound is great. I think the song is pretty good. So I definitely dig the Knee-Highs. I think they're pretty cool. And the Knee-Highs, are they cool or are they too cutie wootsie?
I like them. I think it sounds really interesting. The like aesthetic of the video too, like there's all these like it opens with like a video game sort of effect, and then there's all these very bright comic book things, like you know when you'd see POW and it's like that, which I thought was really cool, and there's a lot of hearts and it's a very, very cute aesthetic, but there's still like a little bit of edge to it because they have like that pop art and kind of that angular thing going on. So I like the look of the video a lot. I've only heard this song. I haven't heard the full EP or any of their other stuff, but I really like the effects or I like the song and how like they've made the guitars sound really, really like heavy isn't the right word, but maybe it is more like kind of grungy, which I think is really cool. So I definitely want to check out more of them. I don't think they're too cutesy wootsy.
Well, they rock live, like they kind of like do like they kind of like do the Runaways like freak out thing live, where like near the end they'll go like really crazy and stuff. But they also have kind of like cutie woochie-ish songs at the beginning. So I think they're really rad. They definitely remind me of the Burger Records era, or the good side of the Burger Records era. And so yeah, man, I think they're real cool. So I'm psyched. I'd love to have them play a punk new show. They're in Chicago, which makes money, and this, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they'd be willing to come out like. When they played a venue in Philly about 6 or 8 months ago, and there's about maybe 70 people there, you know. So I don't know what kind of guarantee they would want, or maybe they'd just be happy to play. But I'd love to have them come play with like either Vixen 77 or Froggy or At Night or Dissidents or something like that. I think it could be a really, really cool show. And also, I think this could be kind of a show where like we do like a lot of fun stuff, like decorating the stage and stuff, you know, because they do kind of have that retro thing going. So anyway, I think they're real cool. And another, I guess, semi-retro, tell us about Kate Clover.
Okay, so Kate Clover, I covered her for Punk News. When was that? I believe it was last year. Is that correct? Let me find out. No, it was 2022. I did a one story about her because she covered an X song and it was very good. I really enjoyed it. And like at that point, it was like I need to kind of remember to like check up with her and kind of see what's going on, right? Completely forgot. And then she popped up again because obviously she's still making music, she has a career. With a new video for her new song called Damage Control, and that's off her upcoming album, The Apocalypse Dream. So the album was produced by Jonah Falco of Fucked Up, and I didn't know that he was involved with the Kate Clover project, so I thought that was a really interesting thing. This video and song have that kind of nostalgic sort of 50s, 60s sort of vibe. And I was kind of surprised because I don't know. I didn't know really what to expect going in. But I was a little bit surprised. I thought it would sound just a little bit like there'd be a bit more bite to it. So I'm not like it's good, but it's just not what I was expecting, I guess, is the way to put that. I do want to see like what her other stuff sounds like, because like I said, I liked the X cover, but I haven't really listened to much of her since then. And this song is just okay. Like it's not my favorite song. I don't know if it's just because I went in with very different expectations, but it deserves another look for sure. But she's also playing Punk Rock Bowling. John, what do you make of Kate Clover?
Yeah, I actually agree with your analysis in that like people are kind of buzzing over Kate Clover, and this sounds good, but I wish it had more pop or more punch to it. You know what I mean? Like I feel like she could really kick ass, but I feel it needs just a little bit more drive to it, you know?
Oh yeah,
So
she has a great voice.
I agree that it could be cool, but I think it needs just a little bit more kick. And maybe that'll come around. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, so th this is a big story that was totally new ignored by the public news readership. Two men have been convicted of the death of J Master J, one of the biggest mysteries in hip hop culture. Of course, their KRS-One actually has this song called "Killer Rapper," and the idea is, if you want to get away, actually the line is, if you want to get away with murder, kill a rapper, because the idea is that like hip hop murders go unresolved because the police don't like hip hop guys or whatever. And so there was this murder, the murder of Tupac, and the murder
Biggie,
of
Biggie Smalls.
well, him too, but I'm thinking of one. Oh my God. KRS is one original DJ. Not Kenny Parker. What the hell's his name? I can't believe I forgot his name. Boogie Down Productions. Scott La Rock. And so it's kind of surprising that about 2 years ago, two guys were arrested in the murder of J Master J. And it was kind of weird in that, like, J Master J was killed in his recording studio, and there was an eyewitness, and they still couldn't get, you know, a lead for 20 years. And the question is,
Oh.
because someone was intimidated, or was it because the police weren't working hard enough? And one side has their argument, the other side has the other argument. At any rate, Carl Jordan and Ronald Washington have been arrested, charged, and convicted of murdering Jam Master Jay. They're going to get sentenced later on this year, and they'll get 20 years to life or even death sentence. U.S. Attorney Breon Pierce had a statement. It's no mystery why it took years to indict and arrest the defendants. The witnesses in the recording studio knew the killers, and they were terrified that they would be retaliated against if they cooperated with law enforcement and identified the ruthless executions of Mr. Mizell, that's Jam Master Jay. But their strength and resolve in testifying at this trial were a triumph of right over wrong and courage over fear. We cannot and should not accept the victimization and killing of members of our communities. So it's good that they caught the killers of Jam Master Jay. It's kind of a bummer that it turns out the reason he was killed is that it was a drug deal gone bad. You would hope that Jam Master Jay, in one of unquestionably the most influential and at the time the biggest hip hop group of all time in the early mid 80s, you think he'd have enough money they wouldn't have to deal drugs. But I guess his contract was bad, and I guess that's what happened. So kind of a bummer all around. I guess there's at least closure on it, Em. But yeah. It's sad that he had to get mixed up in drug dealing, frankly. And also, I'm a little annoyed at the punk news community that, like, they didn't care about this at all. Like, this is kind of a huge deal. Like, this was a big thing for decades, you know? And it, no one cared. They more cared about my spelling error with regards to Sepultura than this.
Yeah, people have messed up priorities here.
Well, anyways, at least that's wrapped up. So let's see what else we got here. And we got a couple more stories, I think. Oh, Ceremony. Yes. Well, actually, I don't know if I have a whole lot to say, but Ceremony did a live stream of their Ronette Park show. They said, this is the only time we're going to play Ronette Park in full, and it's going to be at the Hollywood Palladium. They sold out just under 4,000 tickets, which is insane, man. I don't know how much tickets were. I think they were like 25 or 30 bucks. Let's say they were 30 bucks. 4,000 times 30 would be $120,000. Ceremony, a hardcore punk band, pulling in $120,000 in one night. That's Morrissey money, Em. That's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. Too much.
And you can watch it online. And it said, we're never doing Ronette Park in full ever again, which seems kind of dumb to me. Why limit yourself arbitrarily? I guess the argument is they don't want to cheapen it, but I don't know. Is only doing it once not cheapening it, I guess, you know, making some spectacle out of it. At any rate, I saw some of the live stream. It was cool. I considered flying out for it. I got to say, I'm not necessarily sorry I didn't fly out for it. But the set was cool. They did all of Ronette Park, and they did about another 8 songs, including a cover of California, Uber Alice, and they did Pressures On by Red Sea like they usually do. And actually, Ross Farrar did kind of a statement, and basically he said that he kind of implied that Ceremony is on kind of hiatus forever, and that they might resurrect here and there, but more or less the era of Ceremony is over. And it turned out my friend Greg Daly, who's a great guy that lives in Philly, he was one of the main guys that like managed the show, which I didn't even know. Like, if you don't know, I've been asking for Greg Daly to come on the show, and he won't because he feels, I believe I'm speaking for him, and I don't know, but I believe he feels that by giving inside info, he would be betraying his clients in that. He's the road manager for Napalm Death. He's the road manager for Mike Campbell, Tom Petty's right-hand man. He was the road manager for Subhumans. He road managed some Jello Biafra stuff, I believe. He knows everybody, you know? Right. And so I'm sure he's got a million great stories, but he might feel it would be inappropriate for him to tell those stories because he's being paid not to tell those stories in a matter of speaking, you know? So anyways, this looked like a cool show. I wonder if it was as cathartic for the people there as it might look like on paper. Also, Em, you know, Ceremony was a band that tried to grow beyond hardcore. And in to my perspective, they were even kind of flipping about it. Certain members were like, "Well, you know, we're not just hardcore. We're not hardcore anymore." Not that you had to be hardcore your entire life, but they seemed to be annoyed at the concept of hardcore. And I feel that might have backfired a little bit because their non-hardcore albums go from mediocre to pretty good, but none of them are great, you know. And so, but then again, if you keep making the same hardcore record over and over, eventually you become boring, you know. So it is very tough to be a hardcore band and have an extended career because hardcore in of itself, just hardcore, is somewhat limiting, you know. So I don't know, Em. What's your take on Ceremony and or the show?
I did not see any of the live streams, so I don't know what it was about. But to say like, oh, we're only going to perform this album once and here it is and there we go. I don't know. It always makes me very wary of it because it's like I don't think that's going to be the case, kind of no matter what band it is. I think if you play an album in full once, it's probably going to come back in some way, shape, or form in something. But kind of with what you said with the indefinite hiatus, maybe that's what they were doing, is just kind of sending it off on an album that they'd never given it the full go live, just as a thanks for sticking around, we're out for a bit, here's a little treat kind of thing.
Well, there you go. Let's see. I think I'd just want one super quick story. Psy Warfare is releasing or has released a cover of it was a Genesis Pure tribute. It's got two previously released Throbbing Griff. Actually, it's got one song that's a new song that samples Genesis Pure, and it's got another song 6660 that they actually put out on a cover album in like 1996. And so Psy Warfare, of course, is the noise act of Dwight Hell, you know, of integrity. And actually, and this circles in perfectly with what we just talked about. We said
All
hardcore can be
right.
limiting. One band that certainly is still hardcore, if you will, or hardcore-ish, but has done many interesting things and has not gotten stale is Integrity. Integrity is one of those interesting bands in punk, hardcore, metal, what have you. And they're still definitely heavy and hardcore-ish, but they've found the ability to be interesting and weird and daring all throughout that, including their fixation on Genesis Purge and Throbbing Gristle and Psychic TV. So it just goes to show that it can be done. I mean, I talk about Integrity a lot, but they are really a fascinating band and they're always doing interesting and weird things. And even though they're always doing interesting and weird things, and even though they put out like noise records, it doesn't feel pretentious. It feels daring and dangerous. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So I'm psyched on it. I've got a lot of Psy Warfare noise records, and they all kind of sound the same. They all sound like a vacuum cleaner, and that's kind of the point. And then it's like I'll be like folding my laundry, and I'll be playing, you know, like the adverts, and then Sex Pistols, and then Ceremony, and then Dwarves, and then Scowl, and then you know what? I want something that's just pure destruction, and you just put on this 2 minute long noise record that is little. Not even noisy music, literal noise, and it's just kind of a fun thing to do. And also, like I said, when I DJ, you know, when I DJ 3 or 4 times a year, and all these dudes are playing, like, you know, I'll hear some Zimbabwe jazz, you know, or hear some, you know, funk from the Congo, or you know, I'll hear some, hear something from, you know, hear some traditional Brazilian music, and it's all a bunch of like mostly white dudes saying, "Oh, that's hip, that's cool," you know, like, yeah, I understand how the black man feels, you know, I'm with the under, you know, and then I'm like, you know, fuck, I'll come in and I'll play like the Full House theme song, and then I'll hit him with some Psy Warfare, which I love doing. I love being a total prick as a DJ. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Anyway, Psy Warfare rules. And Integrity rules. And oh, and I gotta review the new Integrity comp that just came out because it's freaking awesome. It's really awesome. And I just wish Integrity would put out a new record. And so yeah, that's what's happening, man. Anything else you want to talk about this week?
You should get a megaphone for when you DJ, and you just put it on that thing that makes like that siren noise.
I'm lucky where this is going.
And then that's just how you open and between songs or after open and close.
I love doing like shock and awe sets where when things are kind of like groovy, because half the people are like really annoyed and shocked and even scared, and the other half the people are like trying to act like they're with it, you know. And I realize I'm being a pretentious and being a dick, but I don't know. I'm a punk rocker and I hate everyone, so I come to do damage. I'm not there to make friends. I'm there to do damage. I'm there to make punk dangerous again, you know.
With the Full House theme song.
With the Full House theme, well, yes, with Full House theme song, Psy Warfare, maybe some Death in June.
You would never be asked to play there again.
I actually had played Death in June, She's Calling Part Two, but that's because, frankly, most people are totally unaware of that. Like, if I went to a punk club, I probably wouldn't do that because someone would probably recognize it, you know. But actually, well,
Yeah.
I mean, like, I, you know, like I said, actually, I think the guy's creepy, but I don't necessarily think he's beyond the pale, if you will. And so I think that, you know, there's no shame in it. But, you know, that being said, you know, sometimes you only want to push boundaries so far. So, anyways, Integrity, friggin' awesome. Scowl, friggin' awesome. The Dead Milkmen, friggin' awesome. Let's see, who else is friggin' awesome, man? Anti Queens, pretty friggin'
Anti
awesome.
Queens are friggin' awesome.
Knee High is pretty cool.
Knee Highs
Potential to be
are pretty
friggin'
cool.
awesome. Let's see
Yes.
here. Billy Idol, friggin' awesome. Run DMC, friggin' awesome. So yeah.
Lots of
Pearl
friggin'
Jam.
awesome.
Ugh.
Not friggin' awesome.
Oh, I meant to say Foo Fighters, but Pearl Jam too. I just don't understand how Foo Fighters is so gigantic. Which I perfectly understand. The reason Foo Fighters is so gigantic is because it's a successor to Nirvana and it's inoffensive. That's why. Like, I hear Foo Fighters and I'm like, how is this so, like, I'm trying to think of, like, the pop that's huge. You know, I understand why. I don't know. Trying, like, Hanson was so huge, you know? Or I understand why, like, I understand why Billie Eilish is so huge or was so huge or whatever. I even understand why Katy Perry is so huge. There's that song, I Am a Lion, So Hear Me Roar. Like, it's cliche, you know, but it's cliche, but it makes, you know, but I can see that appealing to masses. Pearl Jam is just so boring. Like, so, not Pearl Jam, but they are boring too. But Foo Fighters are so boring. What's the main Foo Fighters song? And then we'll wrap this up. What's the main
The
Foo
main
Fighters
one,
song? Yeah.
Everlong,
Maybe. Let me
or
listen to that
Learn
real quick. I
to,
thought there's one.
well, no,
Let's
that
see.
wouldn't be,
There's
because
one
they have
song.
so many. Oh, Monkey
It's only.
Wrench.
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
okay.
You know, and I actually never knew Monkey Wrench was Foo Fighters, and I heard that for the first time in full like a year ago. And I'm like, this sells millions and millions of records? Like, I
Who did
couldn't
you think
believe
it
it.
was?
I just thought it was some bullshit 90s band that was forgotten. Like, I thought it was like Creed
Oh,
or something. I thought it was like Creed. Like,
with
it's so
arms wide
bad. It's so
open.
bad. Or it's not even bad, just boring. I can't believe how big Foo Fighters is. I know. And of course, you know, I'm very anti Dave Grohl, and I don't even know I should be as anti Dave Grohl as I am, but there you go.
Just because you don't like his vibe.
I'm anti Dave Grohl because I think he's a phony baloney, and some people that are not necessarily friends but friendly acquaintances, like he, well, I don't want to reveal confidences. Let me put it this way. There's David Lee Roth and there's Sammy Hagar, right?
Sure.
And let's say David Lee Roth's having a huge party. And you say, Dave, can I come to your party? Hoping like, bippity bop. Hell no! You know? But then if you ask Sammy Hagar, and Sammy Hagar is like having a party, he's like, you should come to the party, man. It's going to be great. And you get to the party, and you say, oh, Sammy said I could get in. And the guy at the door is like, you're not on the list. So you call Sammy. And he doesn't answer. He doesn't answer. You call him again. He doesn't answer. And eventually he answers. And it's like, oh, yeah, sorry. We're full. Maybe next time, brother. You know, Dave Grohl and Sammy Hagar. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Did you like my very specific references there?
Yes. Yeah, they were spot on.
So that's my opinion of Dave Grohl. But what does he care? He's a multi-millionaire. And I could say something extremely mean right now, but I won't. But yeah. So yeah, man. Whatever. I don't know. And give the listeners some closing parting words aside from me just beating. Oh, here's Psychotic Pineapple put out a new EP. We were talking about Psychotic Pineapple
Oh,
next
yes.
week last week. And now they released a brand new EP. Go check it out. It's decent. It's got some cool tracks on it.
I
And
know, man.
give him, but listen, honestly, listen to the first and only Psychotic Pineapple record. It's amazing. Even M liked it. and she hits
It was good.
everything. And
Yes.
so, M, give him some closing words here.
I am a Grinch. Do not, if you're going to engage with,
Dave Grohl.
if you're going to engage with Dave Grohl, make sure that you have protection. Make sure you have an umbrella or something. Just make sure you're safe.
And
Because
what are you
the
talking
facial
about?
hair is catching. I have no idea. I just started rambling and then it just, now I'm thinking about mutant facial hair that just like slithers around and like infects people. So, like a giant centipede.
I feel like M has or M knows someone that like had a sexual experience with Dave Grohl. Is that true, M? Is
Oh,
that true?
I don't believe I have. I don't
But you
think I've
well,
known
listen.
anyone.
He's a rock star, so probably like one out of every eight people has had like a sexual experience with Dave Grohl, you know. So.
Hey, listeners, if you've had a sexual experience with Dave Grohl, please email us.
At podcast@punknews.org, we want to know every detail. We will see you when M.
Next week.